Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Getting you set for Sunday's battle between Kansas City and San Francisco. Presented by Blake Street Tavern. Here's the Fan Late Night with Sean Drotar.
And with Jason Landry, you heard him earlier today from 7 to 9 p.m. as you usually do. And he got wrangled into doing other things because there are two guys at this station, Cecil and Johnny Hart, who I am convinced secretly live here somewhere. That there are some sort of apartments hidden or something like that, because they're always here. So Cecil hadn't even left yet, and come back in and talk a little bit about the defensive line. I've been talking about offense the entire show to this point. Now that you're seeing Mike Shula and Pat Shurmur as if the Broncos now alter themselves from the Shanahan style of offense to a Reed style of offense, and what that means. But the defense is still Vic Fangio's. And the Broncos along their defensive line, the three guys that played the most snaps for them are all free agents, all unrestricted. Adam Gotsis, Shelby Harris, and Derek Wolfe. Shelby Harris is, I think, the least likely to return, looking for a bigger payday, had the right year at the right time. His ability to swat passes is really en vogue right now in the NFL.
Right.
Adam Gotsis has settled into his kind of rotational position, not the player the Broncos hoped he would be, but he's not a disaster. You can use him.
Right.
And probably won't cost a ton. But the question, of course, is what happens with Derek Wolfe? He was having one of his better years in his career, but again, finished the year hurt. Now, it's not his fault, but he is a guy that has the injury bug tag that hangs around his neck.
Right. And that could mean good things for the Broncos if you're looking to save some money and spend that elsewhere. We know Justin Simmons is going to be here. We just get that out of the way, right? Justin Simmons, whether it's franchise tag or they actually come to an agreement. And without Mike Sullivan, who I've known since he was an agent at Octagon, when he was a Bulldog agent, really tough to work, got his players everything. The Broncos hired him with that affinity for now he's our Bulldog. Well, that kind of wears thin when you're playing hardball with Von Miller after a Super Bowl MVP season.
Right.
Like, you can't do that. You made Malik Jackson mad. You made Matt Paradis mad. Like, you can't keep doing these
things. And there have been guys, wait, you think about Chris Harris, there's friction there. This is hardly the first year the Broncos have had friction with their own free agents. And it's not blaming it all on Sullivan, because obviously John Elway has a large part to do with this as well.
But Elway gets most of the blame.
Right.
Where really
because nobody
Sullivan's
knew who Mike Sullivan was, by and large.
And also Sullivan, just from people I talked to, may have said some things about Vance Joseph that got back to VJ. And they had to sit down and have a meeting together. And anytime you have your capologist telling other agents bad things about your head coach, I don't care if VJ was a bad head coach.
Right.
Like, you can't, organizationally, you can't do that. You have to have a unified front. So with Sullivan, they don't renew his contract. I think there might be a gentler touch. Doesn't mean give everybody everything. But Shelby Harris is going to want way too much money. He's going to get way too much money.
Yeah, he is.
You're going to have to overpay to keep Shelby Harris, who seems to be high on their list. That leads you to Derek Wolfe. And what are you going to do there with Wolfe? Because Adam Gotsis isn't great, but I at least give him credit. When he was benched, and Vic Fangio, the problem that Gotsis had, from what I know, is that Fangio was just like, yeah, you're inactive, we're moving on, and didn't really explain to him. And Gotsis wanted more of an explanation. Vic didn't give him that, but it's that tough love that Vic gives everybody. The thing I like about Gotsis, and I was down on the pick when they made the pick.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Gotsis that I like is that he didn't lose focus and go completely in the tank.
No.
He fought his way back.
He did.
So that's good.
There was focus. There was some fight there. I think that's a good sign. And I think all you can ask a player to do is perform up to their talent level. And the Broncos probably thought that Adam Gotsis had maybe a higher ceiling than he really does.
Right.
But I agree. Instead of going into a shell and pouting about it, basically said, all right, well, watch what I can do then. I'm going to get a spot back.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're going to bring him back. I don't even suspect they necessarily will, but it wouldn't be a disaster. That said, if he's your starter, that's not good. So what does that mean with Wolf? This is a tricky spot. They can – I've said the same thing you have. When he got hurt, bad for Derek Wolf, maybe good for the Broncos in a roundabout sort of way. At the same time, you're also talking about a guy that's going to be 31 that has had a lot of injuries. You pay
for future performances, not for past performances. What do you think the market will be for a Derek Wolfe?
He may not want to hear this, and I know a few things, and I reported it tonight. One on my show, I broke the news, and also I reported on Twitter. The Broncos haven't even reached out to him.
And that doesn't surprise me, because you're going to let the market dictate
see
the cost.
See what that could be. He made $9 million last year.
Right.
That's plenty for Derek Wolfe at this point in his career. You go about half that and throw in a little bit for Lanyap. So I think about $6 million would get the deal done, even if it's with another team. And if I were to guess, a team like Arizona with Vance Joseph would probably be real interested in Derek Wolfe were he to hit the open market if the Broncos do, in fact, let the market establish the price. But therein lies the problem. Are you going to pay Shelby Harris $10 million a year, $11 million a year, maybe more?
Because that may be what it takes.
Or are you going to pay Derek Wolfe $6 million?
Right.
You know, and Derek would have, Derek wants $9 million, from what I know. He's not going to get $9 million.
Yeah, Chris right? Harris would like $13 million as well, yeah. And it's,
you know, you're not going to get that.
Things don't happen.
So what will you be willing to accept? We'll see what the market bears, but I think Wolf, one, he wants to stay. Two, I would like to see him stay because of the fit with Vic Fangio. Best year of his career
right.
under Vic Fangio. So let's see that continue. The injury bug's going to be there, so draft somebody else and have him at the ready. But you've got Draymond Jones on the other side. I think you're good to go there with him and Chubb. That'd be awesome. And then what Miller gets from Derek Wolfe. Wolfe sacrifices his stats
right.
to help out Vaughn.
Something that Miller has explained for years.
Yep.
Yeah,
keep
that connection. They're a pair. Right.
Keep it if you can. And I think you can for a low ball price.
If they can't, how does that change the Broncos draft strategy? Do you look at someone like an A.J. Epenesa? Do you look at someone who can basically step in? You're going to need someone to step in and start.
Yeah.
So does it change your draft strategy if you're the Broncos, if you can't get it done?
What's funny with Epenesa that you bring up, a lot of people in the scouting community are actually down on him.
Right.
So we'll see. He's not as sexy at like 15. That seemed a month ago. That's like, that could be a pick. Maybe Javon Kinlaw, if we bring him up from the Senior Bowl, who had to stop out.
Oh, I love Javon Kinlaw, but I'm afraid he did too well in the Senior Bowl now. Yeah, it makes me nervous.
Right. He had the knee tendonitis, so had to stop after a couple of days. Maybe, you know, and this draft's going to be really interesting because there may be four quarterbacks go in the top 10.
Right. Which is great news for the Broncos.
Fantastic at 15. In fact, the new mock draft from the Draft Network, who's a good up-and-coming site, has Andrew Thomas at 15.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be perfect. Be amazing.
Normal years,
Broncos
he's a top 5 pick.
Exactly.
Not a 15. That
but
would be.
It's quarterback frenzy. And in fact, now with the Chargers moving on, I didn't say they're moving on. Yeah, they're moving on from Phillip Rivers, Carolina.
Yeah, that doesn't accidentally get out.
Exactly. You got teams that want to get into the top 10, like the Raiders, like the Colts for a quarterback.
Right.
This is great news for Denver. So at 15, you're going to have a lot of options.
He is Cecil Lammy. You catch him here most nights from 7 to 9 p.m. You won't. On Thursday and Friday night, because you will be on Miami for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Friday night I'll be seeing Guns N' Roses, but Saturday I'll be at Lee Steinberg's Super Bowl party.
Oh, good.
And then Sunday I'll be at the game. So our game coverage, you know, a lot of people go out for the week and then don't stay for the game.
Right.
Our game coverage will be at 104.3thefan.com, so everybody check it out. And then I'll take a red eye, 2 a.m. I leave Miami Monday at 2 a.m. I'll be back in Denver, be on the air Monday night. Talking about all the Super Bowl experience.
All right, well, that'll be fun to watch. So make sure, obviously, you're following Cecil on Twitter. I presume you are. And if you're not already downloading if you're not already subscribed to the Denver Sports Daily, make sure you do that. You get everything that Cecil puts together, plus James Merrillat, everybody else, all the digital stuff that's so great. It just arrives in your mailbox every morning. You can check that out. So when you've gone out to Super Bowls before, what in specific do you take away from it? I mean, I've done a few of these as well, and it's so much of it is silliness in a lot of ways. Last night we're watching the media event, which is, I think, the goofiest thing that happens in all sports.
Yes.
And they dressed all the guys like it was a Backstreet Boys concert. And you're trying to take it seriously. You're talking about two teams that, at least especially in Kansas City's case, in San Francisco's case, did certainly not expect to be here at the beginning of the year.
Right.
How do you think that affects both of these teams? For the Chiefs, they feel like they should have been here last year.
Yeah, and
but
that's
they
the
weren't.
Thing. They weren't. Now they are.
Right.
So do you feel entitled by that? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I'll pick up on. Because Radio Row is Radio Row. You know what it is. It's like, glitz and glamour, whatever. And some people, some names. Barry Sanders kicking around, whatever.
Right. It's nice to talk to a bunch of Hall of Fame players. But
media
they're not
night's
playing right
awful.
Now.
It's a clown show, whatever. I hate that. But I love talking to the teams because you have team availability. And just getting an idea, are these guys a little too amped up? Or are they comfortable? Are they too comfortable? So to me, that's the most valuable thing that I'll take away during the week is when I actually get to go talk to the Chiefs and all the players available. I get to go talk to the 49ers and all their players available, talk to the coaches, and just get a feel like, you know, where are these guys at mentally before this game?
Yeah, I'm curious about that as well, because just without, I mean, sitting out here in Denver, my thought process is that the Chiefs have been so close and been so hyped, and understandably so. But we've seen it again. Teams that can run and control the clock and play defense, and they can play defense in San Francisco. And they're on house money. They were 4-12 last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been playing the underdog all year. I'm curious to see how the mindset goes, because we've seen this happen before. In fact, back after the 2012 season, we saw something pretty similar. A highly hyped offense from Denver and a team that kind of felt like, well, of course we deserve to be here. And it was over in about 10 minutes.
Right. It doesn't take long.
Yeah, so this will be interesting to see how it goes. So make sure, catch Cecil here tomorrow. It is normal slot. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he's going to be out there in Miami. So I'm sure it'll probably snow a foot here just to rub it in. But enjoy your time out there, and we'll catch you tomorrow on your last show before you head out.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Always good to have Cecil on, of course. We're getting you ready for Sunday's game between Kansas City and San Francisco, thanks to Blake Street Tavern. And when we look at what the Broncos have done in their moves with their coordinator and their now quarterback's coach, you're talking about two former head coaches on the offensive coaching side and a guy that's been an offensive coordinator. How quickly can that help the Broncos bridge the gap between a bad offense and at least one that can keep them competitive for wild card next season? We'll explain next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.